You look tired.
Polly freaked out last night, and we stayed up singing to her, Lisa and I.
Have you become friends with Lisa?
Why? Is that bad?
Does it feel bad?
No.
Before you came here, did you have many girlfriends?
Not really.
Would you say that before you came here, your friends consisted mainly of boys, of men?
Does it say in there that I'm promiscuous?
Why do you choose that word?
How many guys would I have to sleep with to be considered promiscuous, textbook promiscuous?
What do you think?
10, 8, 5. And how many girls would a guy my age have to sleep with to be considered promiscuous? 10, 20, 109?
Oh, someone who's compulsively promiscuous might engage in a sex act with a guest in their room and then engage in another sex act during the same day with an orderly.
Am I in trouble for kissing an orderly or giving my boyfriend a blowjob?
What is up, everyone? Welcome back to Retro Movie Podcast, the podcast where everything is connected. I'm your host, Jacob Thompson, and joining me is my co-host, friend, and the person most likely to fall asleep during graduation, Alex Perkins. Perk, how are you doing tonight?
I'm well. I thought you were going to go for most likely to interrupt a girl, which I would have taken offense with. But yes, my college graduation ceremony was like 3 hours plus long, and the flask didn't even make it to my seat.
Flask was bone dry.
Yeah. Don't worry, I checked several times.
We need to figure out a new method for graduations, especially college ones, because good lord, they're way too long. Also, what was the system in this movie where she was still seated? Like, you gotta get in line, all right? You can't just be, oh, somebody's name, they get off out of their seat. That's super inefficient.
I love the idea that at that graduation ceremony, every time they called a name, someone had to stand up out of the crowd, walk all the way to the stage, get their diploma, and then go sit back down for another person to be called, because I think that would have taken several days, and that's really funny.
Well, welcome back to the podcast, everyone. This is the Red City Movie Podcast, where we, Perk and I, review a movie that was connected to the previous one. If you like our show, be sure to tell your friends about it. And check us out every Friday morning on all podcast services. Right now, we're in the middle of our female voices string, so we're highlighting movies directed and written by women in the film industry. And this week, we watched a movie called Girl Interrupted. Our kind of connection was James Mangold, who he directed this, and he also directed 310 to Yuma, which we watched not too long ago. Also, Perk, fun fact, I don't know if you caught this, at the very end of the credits of this movie, they're showing the songs that they use, you know?
Yeah.
There was a movie, or there's a song used in this movie called 310 to Yuma.
Is it really?
Which was, like, very weird.
That's very interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, it's certainly not a coincidence, but still kind of interesting.
Maybe James Mangold used that track, and he's like, you know what? I want to remake 310 to Yuma at some point. But
yeah.
Anyway, yeah. Perk, intro this movie for us, please.
All right. Girl Interrupted is a 1999 joint. It is adapted from a book written by Susanna Kazin, which is our female voice. It's an autobiographical story of her time being locked up in a mental ward in the 1960s. Mm-hmm. It stars Winona Ryder and Angelina Jolie, mainly, with a whole heap of other cast members.
Yeah, cool cameos in this.
Yeah, and a few fun facts for you. Winona Ryder herself bought the rights to this book and spent 7 years trying to get the movie made, and specifically picked out James Mangold to direct because she really appreciated his earlier film Heavy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then Angelina Jolie did some just kind of interesting method type stuff in like acting in this movie. Like, she tried to avoid any communication with Winona Ryder just so she could better, you know, visualize her as not a person, mm-hmm. As mm-hmm. like a sociopath would. And she actually, Angelina Jolie apparently, just like was so deep into the character that she didn't see her character as crazy at all and just saw her as just someone who's honest. And it's like, wow, really, really deep down the rabbit hole.
It comes through, though. I feel like that makes total sense with how she plays the character.
She feels very genuine, so I can see that for sure.
Yeah. I was really surprised to see Jeffrey Tambor in this. I'm like, oh, it's the guy from Arrested Development. He's the therapist. And then I realized afterwards, I'm like, Elizabeth Moss was Polly. I'm like, holy shit. Would not have guessed that.
I did one of those moments where, like, right away I was like, is that Elizabeth Moss? Oh, what do you know?
Crazy.
And like Whoopi Goldberg,
Jared Leto.
Jared Leto is in here for some reason.
Yep. I had the same reaction. Like, is that fucking Jared Leto? What's he doing in here?
Kind of similar to my reaction of seeing Logan Lerman in Bullet Train.
Yep.
It's like, yep. What? Why is this? Why are you there? This should be a nobody.
Perk, I think we need to start off this review. I need to start out with an apology. Okay.
Okay.
Ever since my entire time I've grown up, you know, Angelina Jolie, movie star, right? I've always known that, but I never really knew why. I always kind of assumed that it was because it was her looks, you know, and she was just in stuff. Angelina Jolie, I apologize. You were insanely incredible in this movie. She absolutely blew me out of the water. Could not believe how good she was. And she won an Oscar for it, deservedly so. Her alone made this movie incredible. I thought it was a super solid movie. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, overall, you'd probably, based on that glowing admiration, you probably liked the movie, I take it?
Yeah, I mean, it was just a very well-done story with really, I don't want to say believable relationships, but, like, kind of, like, Angelina Jolie is a sociopath, and that comes through super well. Just in how, like, the presence she has on screen and, like, how manipulative she is to everyone else is just so, just feels so real and visceral. And Winona Ryder's, I mean, great also, but, I mean, Angelina Jolie just absolutely just stole the show for me. But I just really like the arc of this movie where you come in and, I mean, you're on Winona Ryder's side because she's a protagonist. And you kind of believe, like, yeah, she shouldn't be in here. Like, this is bullshit. And that's true to some extent. And then you start, like, the first half of the movie, you're kind of with the patients and being like, yeah, fuck the system. The guys don't know what they're doing. But then I like the turn of, like, no, like, you need to just get help yourself, take this seriously, and you will improve. And then she does. So I really like that turn. The entire movie is not like, fuck all these adults. It's like, no, like, there actually is a system that works here. It's not perfect. But, like, if you actually want to get better, you can do that. And then that climaxing with her kind of final conversation with Angelina Jolie. But overall, I really liked it. Writing was good. Acting was good. My only critique would probably be like the monologues at the beginning and end of the movie are a bit dramatic. I know we talk on this podcast a lot about the monologues beginning and end of movies. But that felt like ripped straight out of the book, which I'm sure it was. So, but overall, I really liked it.
I loved this movie. So we talked about, like, a movie like Lady Bird, which is just kind of like a weak story with amazing characters and great peripherals and good relationships. I think that this character or this movie kind of has a reversed of that, where I think the story and the plot and the characters and the reactions are all elite, and then there were just a few peripheral things that kind of pissed me off, like sure. You talked about, but not enough to like pull me out of it. But
no,
I don't love monologues. We've talked about this before. I don't love montages, and there were a couple montages. I didn't like the score. The score was annoying to me. Just kind of like awkward and gaudy. There were a few moments where it was really good. Like when Lisa returns at the end of the movie and they're just walking around, and then all of a sudden you hear like what almost sounds like an off note or like a accidentally hit a flat in the in the music in the background, and then it kind of twinges off into a little bit like a darker, like a minor. I I really like that, but a lot of it's just like
it's weird. It's getting melodramatic.
Yeah, over the top for sure. Where, you know, I think it could have been just a little more reserved. But like, and the music in the little mini chase scene in the basement at the very end of the movie is kind of pulled me out of it a little bit. But that's pretty much all I have negative to say about this movie, because good Lord, I say this all the time where every actor in the movie was fantastic, but this time I mean it. Cause every actor in this movie was fantastic, except maybe, I guess the like night clerk guy who has like two lines and they're fine. But like you could go down the cast list and be like, yeah, should have won an Oscar. Should have been nominated. I think, yeah, Angelina Jolie, this is one of the best performances. Yeah. End of sentence. Like,
yeah. Yeah. she's insane.
She's mesmerizing and terrifying and so good. And
but also physical, lovable.
Yeah, like, yeah.
You understand why everybody loves her.
No, like, you kind of fall for it a little bit, you know? Or you get won over, you get charmed. And the physical acting she brings to it and the mannerisms and just the, like, when she comes back at the end of the film and just looks gaunt. And it's just, wow. Oh, she's so good. So good in this movie. I think Winona Ryder is actually amazing and wasn't nominated or anything. And I think probably, I don't know the context of the nominees from 2000, but I think she should have been in the conversation for best actress in the leading role. I think Brittany Murphy is outstanding. She has a bit smaller of a role, but is also just so believable. And just like her tragic arc, she just plays it to perfection.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, there's so much pain in her eyes that you can see. It's like, wow. Like, you know, a good actor when their eyes do the acting for them. Goodness me. And yeah, let's see. I think her roommate, Georgina, that actress is good.
Yep.
Elizabeth Moss is good.
Yeah.
Jeffrey Tambor is good. Whoopi Goldberg is fantastic. Amazing. Yeah, she's great. Jared Leto's okay, but he's pretty peripheral.
Did you also feel like Jared Leto was Zac Efron in this movie? Like, everything he did felt like High School Musical Zac Efron, which was just, I don't know, it just felt so funny to me.
I like his little side plot, though.
His little draft dodge plot. Yeah, all of the side characters are interesting because you can kind of tell that it's based on a book, because I feel like they probably spent a lot more time with each of the characters in the book and, like, had expanded storylines, because they're all so, like, unique with their own specific thing. And it's dialed back, you know, to fit everything in the movie, but I think it still works really well. Like, I love Georgina's reveal of being a pathological liar. I think it's just super well done. It's not right away. Like, you get a little bit, then you find it out. And yeah, you just get, like, go ahead.
Sorry to interrupt, but yeah, a lot of them, it's like, you know, these women are all in this asylum, and it's like, you, every time a character's introduced, you're like, oh, what's wrong with them? And, like, you see, you know, Elizabeth Moss's face, and the one woman has Tourette's, and then Georgina seems like, oh, this is a normal person. Yeah. And then she's like, oh, I'm a pathological liar. It's like, yeah, fair enough.
And we get the hint, because, like, when Whoopi Goldberg first drops off an underwriter in the room, she's like, hey, Georgina, can you take her to the dining room in half hour? And she's like, yep. And Whoopi Goldberg's like, remember, yes means yes. And she's like, yes. And I'm like, okay, something's going on there. And then, yeah, she reveals it. But, yeah, and, like, even with, like, I forget her name, but there's the character who we don't really get a whole bit about, but you can tell she's anorexic from just context clues.
Janet, I think?
Yeah, it sounds right, yeah.
Something like that.
And then, like, Elizabeth Moss, she's always, like, so, you know, happy, I guess, for lack of a better term.
Yeah. Positive.
And we get, like, Winona Ryder's, like, diagnosis of her when they're reading her journal at the end. But at a different point, somebody is, like, giving, it's, like, a monologue, and it's, like, wanting to stay a child forever. I think talking about her character, which we never really get that specifically. She's holding, like, a teddy bear around, but,
yeah.
it's just kind of nice to get like the little bits of character that's not exposition like right in your face.
Right. No, and I think maybe the insinuation there is like, because I mean, you can have development stunted by trauma, so maybe the insinuation is that you know, her traumatic experience stunted her growth and kind of stuck her mentally there, but yeah, she just kind of seems a little quirky. Maybe I guess childish is what they were looking for, but did you notice there at the end, when leaving, Winona Ryder goes over to Elizabeth Moss and gives her a hug and kisses her on the cheek, the burned cheek. And they had earlier in the movie talked about no one's ever going to kiss her. And I thought that was kind of a nice little,
that's nice,
full circle.
Yeah. I didn't catch that actually.
Yeah. Well, get your magnifying glass out next time.
Speaking of things I wish they had done a little bit more, you had mentioned the montages, and that's where I was like, yeah, I kind of wish we would have seen more of Winona Ryder, of like more of why she was there and more of her recovery. Cause like, I'm still confused. I'm like, did she actually need to be there? You know?
Yeah. And, like, cause she had the like zone out flashback things,
which were really well done, by the way. I loved
but the movie. They kind of stopped immediately.
Yeah.
Which was a little weird. Like as soon as she got there, they kind of cut off. Which was maybe like a sign of progress or something. And I mean, she clearly had suicidal tendencies. So
right, she mentioned being depressed. It's just, I wish, because I think the flashbacks, the way they were edited and shot, like it made you feel like Susanna, like made you feel like how she was feeling, which I thought was really cool. But then I didn't get a sense of how she was feeling besides that. Like I didn't get a sense of her depression besides her just telling us she's depressed or. So it kind of felt like telling that show for a lot of her kind of symptoms. But then it's like, it's also the question of like, did she actually need to be there? So it's, maybe it's up to interpretation a little bit.
Also with like, with depressed people, like do depressed people look depressed? Not
sure, really, but like so. They could maybe have done some kind of, I don't know, film trick to like kind of put us in her headspace or like, because they did it with the flashbacks. So that's why I was thinking about it, like. Just give us something to give us an idea of how she's feeling a little bit more. Because we are, like, in her perspective. And then, then the montage of her getting better is very much like, look, okay, she's better now. And it's like, all right. Her just, like, talking in therapy while Jeffrey Tambor is passed out on the couch and stuff. It's like, this is fine. Would have liked a little bit more, but.
Apparently, I also read in the fun facts the original cut of the movie was a full hour longer. So I'm wondering if maybe the studio said, hey, this is too long, cut this out, and that's why we got two pretty substantial montage skips.
Maybe
there was more elaboration in there.
But I mean, it still works, right? And part of it is that like she is diagnosed with borderline personality disorder, which like doesn't have a clear definition. Like it's a very vague. And, you know, even when they're, like, all in the office, like, reading their diagnoses and she reads the definition, Angelina Jolie's like, yeah, everybody has that. Like, you know. I overall, it worked. I just wanted a little bit more clarity on kind of what she was going through personally.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. But, yeah, I just think, I mean, because Winona Ryder's the main character, but I think, you know, I wasn't too analytical about her situation just because of how drawn to Angelina Jolie's character I was. You know, she steals absolutely every scene she's in. So she almost feels like the main character.
And Susanna's drawn to her too, right? And that's part of
it.
And yeah, just other scenes. Like, I love the whole scene in the ice cream shop.
That's a good one.
Where the woman confronts her, and there's like, "Don't yell at crazy people." And they all just start freaking out. I love that, and this is some really
Also the because you know in movies where someone won the Oscar, you often look for the Oscar winning scene, right? It's hard to pin down because she's got quite a few. Because I had thought the scene at Daisy's apartment, which is amazing and gripping and so suspenseful and just so well done, and all the dialogue in that scene is great, and the emotionlessness that Angelina Jolie presents after all of that ordeal with finding Daisy and everything is, it's terrifying, actually. Yeah. Like, it's, oh, man. And then I rephrased, because the chase scene in the basement is like, oh, well, that's probably the scene. Although the clip they probably played at the Oscars was probably when she's yelling at Daisy on her way up the stairs.
Yeah.
That'd be my guess.
But it's hard to pick, I mean, 'cause she's on in every single scene. Like, she's at the same level of quality the entire movie.
Yeah, whereas, like, a lot of times with a with supporting actor in general, you end up with a lot of people who have the one scene. Like, Anne Hathaway won Best Supporting Actress, and her screen time in Les Mis is, like, 6 minutes.
Right.
She just has the one big set piece song in the rain, and, and it at, like, I'm sure I haven't seen it. My mom keeps telling me to watch
it. She deserves it. She deserves it. Okay. I don't love that movie, but she deserves it for that scene.
Or, like, Mahershala Ali is only in Moonlight for, like, 20 minutes, but he has some very powerful scenes with young Chiron. So, a lot of times, it's pretty easy to just pick out, like, oh, this is the scene that won it for him. Whereas Angelina Jolie is just such a powerful force throughout the entire movie, which I think is absolutely deserving of praise.
Yeah, no, 100%. It completely deserved it. Probably one of the best supporting roles I've ever seen in a film.
There's a really short list. I think Heath Ledger's Joker, maybe this. I of course this is a list I would have to do a little more digging into, but no, she kills it.
Yeah, I don't have too much more to say about it. As far as, like, recommendations, I was getting major Fight Club vibes in this movie.
Ah, I was kind of thinking, you know, if this were a worse movie, the twist would be that she wasn't real.
Yeah. It was all in her head.
I wasn't going to say Fight Club, actually. I was going to, just what came to mind was I watched the first season, maybe I watched the second season of Orange is the New Black. Just kind of like a...
Yeah.
Put away people, forming a community, lots of strong female characters, and
nice. The only one I thought of, just because of the time period and, like, the medicine, was Queen's Gambit. You know, very, very the first time vibes.
The first time they hand out those pills, and it's like, well, what are these for? She's like, just take them. It's like, it very much felt like the Queen's Gambit home.
Yeah. How are they getting away with that shit back then? It's insane.
Women were barely people in the 60s.
I know. It's just like, here's something to make you sleep, here's something to make you shit. Like, they're just, like, giving pills for, like, stuff that's normally fine. They're just giving to everybody.
It's crazy, right.
But, that was Girl Interrupted. Highly, highly recommend it. Please go watch it. It's on HBO Max also Netflix. I didn't mention that last week, but I watched it on Netflix.
Oh, all right.
So yeah, double whammy there. Before we reveal what we're watching next week, I got one little mini review for you, kind of.
I got nothing this week. Been pretty tied up.
So I just got a video game, Ghost of Tsushima. Have you heard of this one, Perk?
I have.
So it's based on, like, actual history of when the Mongols invaded Japan, specifically Tsushima Island. And it's kind of it's a fiction. So it's a samurai tale about a samurai who is trying to take back the country. And he kind of has to resort to some some dishonorable tactics that normally samurai would not go to. So kind of into some, like, Assassin's Creed situation, you know, where you kind of sneak up and assassinate people and that kind of stuff. And the story is, like, pretty solid. The characters are interesting because, like, obviously the time period is not, like, a happy time. Like, the Mongols invading is very fucked up, and it's war, and there's a lot of bad shit going on. So I think it's probably for that reason, but, like, think of it's, like, how the side quests are written. There's, like, very rarely just, like, a happy side quest. Like, there's almost always some twist that's like, just kidding, this is fucked up. Like, just, for example, there's one where this guy's, like, screaming, and you go talk to him, he's like, hey, the Mongols, like, took my house, and my wife and kid are still in there. Can you rescue them for me? And I'm like, ain't no problem. And I'm like, oh, it's a video game side quest. I'm going to go in and kill him and give this guy his wife and kid back. And go there, kill the Mongols. Wife and kid, they're dead. They're hella dead. And it's like, okay. And the guy's like, I'm like, here's your house back. He's like, okay. But my family's dead. I'm like, yep. Nothing I can do about it. It's like stuff like that where it's video gamey type stuff, but with just a more brutality. Sure. Which, I don't know, is good because it's historically accurate, but it's also not super satisfying sometimes from a gameplay perspective or a story perspective. And a lot of the side characters are also very complicated. Like you're kind of helping out these kind of older people in your community that like one was on a massive like revenge fantasy, and it's just kind of hard to watch because they're just like kind of throwing away everything for revenge and you're helping them out. And I'm just like, I don't like doing this, but I'll do it because it's on my quest log. But anyway, I'm bringing it up because right now they're going to make a movie out of it. They're plans to make a movie. Okay. And it's supposed to be directed by Chad Stahelski, who you might know as the director of the John Wick franchise.
Okay.
So action will probably be super solid. And he said that he wants to shoot it in Japan with all Japanese actors in Japanese and have it be subtitled, which I think would be fucking awesome.
I'm in for that for sure. I think I know that game is, from what I've seen, pretty beautiful, though. So I hope
they sort out
the cinematography, because that's got to be a big selling point.
No, if I can give the game one compliment, or the biggest compliment, its presentation is 11 out of 10. Like, every single quest, every single side quest starts with, like, a gorgeous background and then, like, the kanji of, like, the name of the side quest, you know, and then, like, leaves, you know, turning into leaves. And it's just absolutely gorgeous. So, yeah, I hope they can capture kind of that beauty, even though that's, like, Japan a long time ago. Japan's obviously still very beautiful, but they probably have to go out to the countryside and stuff to get those kind of shots. But, yeah, I hope they're able to pull it off, because I think it'd be one of the most gorgeous movies with cool action. Story, I think, is fine, but I just hope it's like John Wick, where it's like the story is serviceable. You're there for the style and the action, and Chad Stahelski can theoretically do that. So, yeah, I'm excited to see how it goes.
If we're doing little game reviews, I'll do one quick.
Yeah,
It's called Rocket League.
what's the story in Rocket League, Perk?
It's about little cars that drive around to hit a ball, and I have 1,800 hours in the game, and I hate it. I would not recommend it.
Is there any lore to tell you in Rocket League if the cars are toy cars or actual size cars?
There is, actually.
Okay.
They're not toy cars, but they're small. I'll look it up.
Are there people inside the cars?
No, I don't think so. There might be those little egg guys. They're like that. The stands are always full of, literally, they're just ovals. So, like, the people in this universe are just ovals.
Amazing. Yeah, I feel like it'd make more sense if they were smaller, because they're defying physics, but, yeah. All right, well, there you go. Yeah, sorry for going on more stuff this week. It's been busy for me and Perk. Hopefully next week we'll have a little bit more. Once I finish my video game, and I'll hopefully get back to watching some shows. I'm also currently rewatching Mob Psycho 100 right now for my anime stuff, but that's a rewatch, so it's not an actual review.
Fair enough.
But next week we are going to watch a movie called Clueless, which I've heard is fantastic from people who like Disney Channel original movie type movies, which I know this isn't one, but it's in that kind of realm.
Come on. I don't know. I don't think it's a DCOM, bro. I think that's absolutely a slight.
All right. Well, maybe I'll change my tune next week. That's what I'm locking in. Expectations.
All right. Which Disney Channel original movie is an adaptation of a Jane Austen novel?
That's fair.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Have a seat. Be seated.
Have you seen Easy A?
Yeah. Or no. No, I've not.
Okay. Well, I'm hoping it's like Easy X. I love that movie.
Okay.
Anyway, our connection is Brittany Murphy, who played Daisy in Girl Interrupted. So we actually have a direct connection this time. Clueless next week. It is streaming on Netflix and Paramount Plus. So hopefully it'll be easy to watch. But until next time, thanks for watching. Bye.
Bye-bye.